Be seated, please. Few minutes. I've heard an amazing word this morning. I was just at the back listening to the word. And Pastor Sam rounded up by saying, Jesus, oh, God needed 12 people. Once he had prayed for the disciples, those 12, what he had done is he's prayed for the world. He said, I do not pray for the world, but I pray for these ones. Because once his prayer over them to be one. So when God wanted to save the world, he only sent one, his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. He sent one tribe. This tribe will restore the 12 tribes. And the Bible says that he called those that he wants to be with him. Guys, you know you can sit down, right? If you want to. It takes a lot of stamina. Corridor is fine now. And so, it took 12. I want you to listen now. It took 12. And he sent one. Wait. He sent one to take 12. When he took the 12, he concentrated 5 things on them. He concentrated his teaching on them. He concentrated his prayer on them. And then the other 3, I can't remember. He called them that they may be with him. So he knows that once he gets those 12, he will get the world. These guys were 15 years old, 16 years old. And he concentrated on them. But you see, the most interesting thing for me this morning that he concentrated on them was his compassion. That's where I'm going with this. He showed them how to be compassionate. Because compassion is the force that transforms things into reality. You know, you can hear the word for 5 years and you love it. But you see, the word, the Pentecostal church, the word is so tricky that in court, that you can switch it to your own life. But that's not for the disciples. He needed to show them how to be compassionate. Compassion is bigger than kindness. He showed them how to be compassionate because that's the force that transmits power. It transmits thoughts into power. It transmits ideas. You know, you've met people with ideas before. They have ideas. But you see, as long as those ideas don't have reason to keep human beings in existence, it can remain an idea world. Calm down, guys. Thank you. Do you understand that? So someone has a big idea. The reason why you've not translated or transmitted your ideas into reality is because there is not enough compassion. So do you want power? This is what you do. You seek compassion, and little ideas will change the world, because whilst other people are looking at their bank account, what you're looking at is God's bank account, which is people. When we say World War III, G, what we are saying is the First World War was fought because nations have passion to extend their territory. First World War. The second one, people had passion. Have you seen soldiers before? going to war to defend their nations. They have kids. They have families. Some of them have wives, or wife, or husband. But the passion of nation makes a man. God is about to program something in Youth Spark Nation. It makes a man carry guns and face an enemy that is not his own direct enemy. When a British army guy faces a Taliban, he does not personally have any question or problem with the Taliban guy, but he fights for the passion of a nation that he represents. The passion of that nation. Oh my God. David, no wonder God loves David. David got to a point, he said, the zeal of your house has eaten up my intestine. There is something about you. Oh my God. So how do you get into the prophetic realm? You look at people without direction, and if you keep focusing on them, you are looking at Tammy and say, he need a prophetic word. As you look at him, power grows in you. So let me tell you the trick of the devil. It gets people's eyes off people. Yeah. It is compassion. One day Jesus wanted to improve people's economy. Let's see how he did it. They had no money, and he had people. And those people were in a position of hunger. I'm telling you how to take the nations now. Did you hear what I just said now? They were in the wilderness, and Jesus had been teaching them the word. And there was no money for food. There was no access to food. Look at what he did. Talk to me.
In those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat.
The multitude were so many, and they had no provision for food. No food, but people. So God needed to gather a people that doesn't have money, so many of them, because he wants somebody to be the billionaire there. But this guy is looking for investment instead of compassion. And why are these people so great and many? Our countries just need people with compassion. Swag Nation just needs people with compassion. They had no money. They had nothing that they can hit. Pastor Obi, you know, you'll get to a stage. You will. And God keeps telling me now, look, if these guys don't go through this, they have no story. So your driving force is no longer just pity. It is looking at multitude of people. See all the family, 60 of you, 100 of you. And you're looking. No businessman here. But look, keep looking. Keep looking. In those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus then called the tribes. Pastor Sam said it. His first point of contact is not the crowd. When Jesus wants to provide, he calls the disciples. He calls the 12. He asks them questions to see if they've developed in faith or they are just followers. What God wants to build in Spark Nation right now are people who can have eternal answers, solutions to problems that the multitude cannot solve. The multitude are not called to solve problems. So don't tell me the problem of Africa is the people themselves. There are many people without good mindset. I don't care. Can I have 12 people? Yeah? 12 people that are disciples of a man with compassion, and you will change your whole nation. Because Jesus did not just change your own nation, he changed generations to come. Why? Because he was a man with compassion. How did Jesus learn compassion? He saw his father. That's what they had to instill in Isaac. Isaac was not about death. Isaac was about willing to die. Meaning that there is something driving the life of Abraham that is bigger than the need for a child. The nations. And Abraham knew, if I don't give this one, I will not get the nations. So the compassion of Abraham was more. Oh my God. That's why God used David. That's why he used Abraham. Abraham. He found people with compassion. So as for Abraham, the fact that three men were coming, he does not know if they are God or not. He went to cook food for them. This guy has so much compassion. No wonder God dwelt with him. God called Abraham his friend. Because it takes one man to take a nation. One man and 12 disciples. Why do we give? It's compassion. If the driving force to walk that makes you give what you work for is not compassion, then it is just religious, acrobatic. It's not going to work. They had nothing to eat. Then Jesus
called his
wait, you're jumping. Sorry. They had nothing to eat. Jesus called his disciples. Listen, he did not complain about food to the crowd. Crowds will never solve anything. Please, I need you to hear that. In the taking of nations, crowd come to look for solutions. So we don't send crowd away. We call the disciples. So what do you do in time of need? So, you know, we have nations without ideologies. So you can't find a man with ideology that has disciples of his, in quote, ideologies. So if you ask London City today, why are 10,000 churches gathering? They don't know. It's just Jesus is Lord, hallelujah. And if the music is nice and the people dress nice. No, what got you out of bed, traveling from Croydon to East Side to this, is you're following an ideology. And as much as the world wants to persecute you, you see beyond. Because when push comes to shore and God needs to change the world, he will not call the world. He will call his disciples. Now you can read, man.
Jesus called his disciples to him and said to them.
You know, I always thought when I see that he called them to him. Say, leave the multitude now. Come. So that means, imagine we're 800 here, 500, 600, 1,000, whatever. He called them to himself. I love the way Jesus maneuvers, you know. Said, okay, guys. There are many people here hungry. Nothing to eat. What do you think? Let's hear what they've got to say.
I have compassion on the multitude.
This man was going to bring manna back and he taught them. He didn't need to tell them he has compassion. But he had to tell them for our sake. The ability to produce bread where there is no bread. The converting power, the purchase power, what Jesus will go to heaven with now is compassion. This is how he's going to go to the store of heaven to get bread back from what Abraham sold. For in you, Abraham, the nations will be blessed. Now the nations are gathered. Now there is no food. They are looking for a converter man, a man who can change things from the realms of heaven, and they found so. He said, look, I have no bread, but I have compassion. No, you didn't hear me. When he says, I have, the Bible says they have nothing to eat. But Jesus have compassion. So no problem if you don't have bread. Do you have compassion? Because it's about what I possess. Listen to me. It's not about what you don't have now. This is why church don't grow in finances. You are too focused on what you don't have. What you should be saying is, I have. Focus on what you have more than what you do not have. So when you come to God, God is not looking for what you don't have, because what he gave you already is what you need in order to purchase what he has in heaven. So stop talking all the time, from businessmen to leaders. You tell me a lot about what you don't have, and I'm thinking, oh God, they still don't get it. Sit down. Sorry, I'll calm down in a minute. This country don't have light. They don't have water. They don't have this. I don't have that. I don't have this. Many things that he doesn't have. So every time from his mouth, this is a businessman, you know, he's telling me all the time what he doesn't have. He tells me also who left him, instead of telling me who is with you. I don't care about who left you. Who do you have? When the prophet wanted to change the economy of that woman, do you know what he said? Woman said, the debtors are coming to take everything. Then the prophet looks at the woman and said, okay, what do you have? I understand what you don't have. That's normal. It is economical. The devil is not the one attacking you. Not having something in the time of famine is okay. It happens to everybody. It is normal. Not having is normal. But the prophetic does not look at what they don't have. The prophetic looks like, what do you have? Should we play with the prophetic a little bit? Alas, my master, we borrowed this axe. The axe is lost now. They were trying to build a school for the prophet, but the axe that they borrowed is now lost. Oh God, it's now lost. So the prophet, the axe, the prophet said, is there stick around? Just wood. The prophetic, God will work with anything you can have access to. But what the problem, why it's not penetrating into your life, is you're very focused on what you don't have access to. So look at this man chasing what he doesn't have access to, forgetting what he has access to. Whatever you have access to now is what God has given you. Your house fellowship can go from 100 to 30. It's not what you don't have. You don't keep watching what you don't have on Instagram. You watch the 30 or the 3 or the 6. That's all that God needs in this season, in order to change the story of your life. Talk to me from the Bible, please. I beg of you.
A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophet cried out to Elisha.
She cried out to Elisha, saying,
your servant, my husband, is dead.
Your servant, my husband, is dead.
And you
tell your neighbor, stop looking at what you don't have. Lord, they didn't say nothing. They didn't say, I'm sorry, but look at your neighbor very well in a way that they can remember, because it's exciting now. But when you get home, the devil begins to tell you, don't mind him. So look at them, help them, tell them, stop looking at what you don't have. Churches forget the 50 people they have because they want to grow into 100. No, my friend, you see, in those 50, there can be children, They can be adults. Oh my God. You know what I showed them in Peckham? They said, you have old people in this church. Five of you meeting in Peckham. You're a young man, 26 years old. You have vision. Go and rent a big hotel. Get posh people. Do professional. I said, listen to me. I have five old people, right? That's what I have. With those five old people, I will take the nations. So you know what my friends started doing? They will rent places. Hire big speakers. Invite people they go to work with. Today, they are struggling. 14 years after. No. God said, look, don't look at what you don't have. I have something here. Maybe all I have is the word. Just grain. Joseph, even the cloth of many colors, they took it off him. They sold him to slavery. But Joseph has something. That's his focus, the vision he has. And Joseph will change the whole economic landscape of the whole nation because of what is God. Now he has no more family behind him, no more dad to pamper him, nothing anymore. But he has a vision, he has a word from the Lord. I see the stars and the moon bowing to this guy called Joseph. And if he can take that to the nation, a nation that was on the verge of ruin. Nigeria don't have problem. Egypt was on the verge of not having food to eat. You see, there's a problem between having food and it's expensive. The worst is not even having. One man called Joseph, because of what is God. When God wants to lift you to the next level, do you know that he takes some things off you so that you don't have too much travel light? So that you can focus now. Okay, let's read that scripture. Likato zobrihakata. Talk to me, Pastor. Thank you.
And you know that your servant feared the Lord. And the creditor is coming to take my two
sons. This guy
sons.
Fears the Lord. He's a good man, but he has debt. God has set the prophet his way. He said, the creditors are coming to take my future. Go on.
To be his slaves. So Elisha said to her,
yeah.
What shall I
Please,
do for you?
Please, can I put this back on the stage?
What shall I do for you?
Elisha then says, what should I do for you?
Tell me.
Yeah.
What do you have?
So look at your neighbor again and tell them, what do you have? I bet it with you, 99% of us in here this morning, you're depressed or down because of what you don't have. So imagine for the last 10 years, God has been looking at you and saying, when you are ready, let's talk. Because the prophetic question is never, what do you not have? God never asks you, what do you not have? In the prayer that is called vain prayer, we tell God what we don't have. Instead of telling him, I have you. I have faith. I have these 10 pounds remaining. I have this. Look at what God did. Back to the wilderness. What they ask you always. Go back home today. So what do you have? Some of you, what you have is good age or good health. It's enough for God. So when we go to the nations, we're not asking them what you don't have. I'm going to focus on what they have. Every nation, however poor, has something. Should we still play with the prophetic a little? Okay. In the marriage of the Cana of Galilee, the first miracle that Jesus performed, they lacked wine. And look at Jesus trying to produce wine for them. The most common thing that a man would have. Heaven does not focus on what a nation lacks. I can't overemphasize this, guys. So what happens is, he said, but you've got water. They said, yeah. He said, you've got jars. They said, okay. He said, you need wine. End of story. Whatever little you have left, God is about to turn water to wine. I didn't even know I would speak about this. I just kept hearing, what are you turning to wine? So I didn't know God was taking me down this route. It was water that they have. Oh God. Oh God. I told you it's going to be a word service, right? But I feel like I have to stop in a moment. What's the time now? Oh my God. So Jesus took the water and made wine out of the water. So now what depresses people? People run around the world for what they don't have. No wonder it says, seek ye first the kingdom. And what you don't have will be added. What is the kingdom? The compassion for souls. It is a numbers game. Because this is all that is in the mind of God. Satan still thinks that he can be God. And now his game plan is, if I can get more people to hell than heaven, I'll be God. When the first war broke out, it was angels that fell. In the second war and the third war, it's not going to be angels. They won't count angels. It will be people. And so Satan is trying his best. So he creates celebrities. He puts time on celebrities. He wears them with time. You know, celebrities only wear time. If there's any one of them you like, it's because they operate in your time. So you are looking at them, so they slow down your own time. They've gained you and increased hell. So a young man realizes that he used his young life to chase things that are mirages. The celebrity has taken his time. Also, the celebrity is also being used. So what does Satan do? Satan has no ability to give anybody talent. But he has ability to give them money in exchange for his bidding, for his time. And time is in your... I won't get to time today because we won't leave. Let's go back to that. So he said, she said, and she said, your
servant has nothing there.
You see, that's the issue. The first thing he said, look, your servant has nothing. Ha! God who turns nothing. Every unhappiness is based on thinking you have nothing. Every unhappiness. I have no money. I have nothing. Talk to me.
Nothing in the house but a jar of oil.
The prophet is saying, what do you think I'm asking for? I don't need a oil refinery. If you have just a jar. Oh my God. You know what God is doing in your life? He wants to show you the potent power of the prophetic. That's why he leaves you with a jar of oil. And you'll be asking, but my servant, my husband had grace. He's a good man. He served God. But God left me to a jar. I said, don't worry. It's because Elisha is coming. Oh, I'm left with my last jar. Elisha is on the way. But if you don't tell Elisha you have a jar, it's going to be an issue. Because she started with, I have nothing. Then what did he say?
Then he said,
go.
Go borrow vessels.
Go borrow vessels from where?
Everywhere.
Go borrow in anticipation of plenty. Go borrow vessels from everywhere. Gone from
all your neighbors.
Empty
vessels.
Do not gather
just a few.
Don't gather just a few. I won't get into that as well. Then what happened?
Don't gather just a few.
And when you have come in,
you shall shut the door behind
and
you.
Your sons
then pour it into all those vessels.
Pour what? The woman will say, I borrowed 30 jars and I have this little. The kingdom of heaven is like a farmer should scatter seed. I need you. I won't pour water on this carpet, but imagine I only have this water and I have 30 jars. I have to put little. No, my logic says, just pour the whole thing into one. It will still be empty. No, she was pouring it and it was endless. Please, where is oil coming from? Elisha's credit. Because Elisha had oil. But it takes a broke woman to provoke Elisha's oil. Did you hear what I just said? Elisha had oil and he could have died without oil. But it took someone that didn't have at the verge of danger to provoke the credit of Elijah. You're telling me about giving. So a man of God can have all the anointing and there's credit for him in the spirit. He's fasted, he's prayed, he's done all this stuff, but it's not seeing it because there are no broke people to provoke the credit. Let's go back to the bread stuff because I have to stop.
I have compassion on the multitude because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing.
I can't even talk about that. I have what?
And have nothing to eat.
For 3 days. Jesus set them up on a journey. Something needs to be provoked. You know, you need to provoke compassion. You provoke compassion by continuously looking at a situation. If the word has entered you, looking at that situation is no longer going to make you cry or fear. It pushes you to provide a solution for it. That's why we lived in an advanced country. Whilst we are praying to cure malaria, the white man is in his lab saying there must be a solution. He has compassion on the number of people dying from malaria until he develops a cure for malaria. We don't do that. We just pray. And prayer is simple and easy. Because once it's not happening, you say the will of God. Hallelujah. Amen. There's not enough compassion to drive our continent. Compassion can make you turn your church to hundreds of thousands of people. If the 3G get the message of compassion, miracles happen from the base of compassion. It's compassion. Spark Nation, God tells me to tell you, stop talking about what you don't have. Anybody God removes from your life is not needed for your lifting. Let's finish this.
And if I send them...
So he set them up on a 3-day journey in order to look at them hungry and teach Peter and Co. what to do. One day Jesus looked at their unbelief when he wanted to raise Lazarus from 4 days of death and he cried. Jesus wept because of the compassion of them for their unbelief. Compassion is why we do what we do. So once you lose that compassion, you will no longer be here. For you, it will just be, oh, we're just giving. No, it is compassion to look at the old generation and see hundreds of people and thousands and hundreds of thousands of people may come in here and realizing they are deceived. They're going to live and die in the same place. Now that's heartbreaking. If that doesn't break a pastor or a leader's heart, then what they will see is, oh, you see, as someone said to me, said, yeah, I know how difficult your work is. All these people talking on social media is because you surrounded yourself with good lungs. So you must, they're not mentally there. I agree to an extent. But compassion does not allow you to stop. See, that's why we live separately for them, because these guys can never be satisfied. They have a sense of entitlement. But I don't hear those things. That's what they do not have. What do they have? Because if I did that, I would have missed an Enrique, a Ben, one Arthur, one Nathan. Compassion came to save just one person, if that's all it gets. Let's finish this scripture and worship God.
And if I send them away hungry to their own houses,
they will faint. They will faint on their way.
They will faint on the way. For some of them have come from afar. Then his disciples answered him.
What would they have to say?
How can one satisfy these people with bread here in the wilderness?
How can one satisfy these people? Listen, they've come to a place where they know they don't have what it takes. They don't have it. But you see, they have something. Look at what they have.
He asked them.
He asked them,
how many loaves do you have?
So they've said, we don't have anything. Because what they are saying they don't have is not that they don't have. It's just that in proportion to the need, they look at these thousands of people and they look at seven loaves. So they concluded by themselves that we don't have. They are mortal men have calculated for a mortal God. So I need you to look at your neighbor again and tell them, what do you really, really have? So the problem was not that they don't have loaves. It's just too small. And they've managed it in their head. How long it will last for? They probably said, let's feed the children. Oh God, I feel like prophesying. So they said what?
And they said seven.
Okay.
So he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground.
Sit on the earth.
And he took the seven loaves.
And did what?
And gave thanks.
He took the seven loaves. That's all they have left. He took it. And he didn't say, make these people hungry. He still took. The seven they have left. Talk about giving if you want. That's your problem. He took the seven they have left. And he says, Father, I thank you. Remember before this, he said, let the people sit down. But remember what is propelling all this is compassion. It is not miracle working power of Christ. He has compassion. Compassion will turn seven loaves to feed 10,000. That's what compassion does. You will not even know how. So what I'm doing after this service, I'm taking my eyes off everything that I don't have. That's the springboard of unhappiness. That's where unhappiness comes from. Everything you don't have. You wake up and say, I can't meet this bill. I don't have. Why don't you give what you have to Jesus and give thanks? He gave thanks. They sat down. I need to stop now. And they set them before the multitude. How many things did they set before the multitude? Seven. Verse seven. Quickly.
They also had a few small fish. And having blessed them, he said to set them.
Those small fish in the public. That's what we have.
So they ate and were filled.
From that gap on, we didn't know what happened. Was bread producing itself? What really happened? What does it mean, and they ate? I can't get into that tonight because I've got a scripture for that in Ezekiel. Now that's mad. Not today, maybe Thursday. Oh, Thursday I'm in Birmingham. So they ate and were filled, and they took up seven large baskets of leftover. They started with seven loaves. Their basket of leftover was seven baskets. This is unbelievable. Seven being the number of perfection. And the moment the first miracle was five loaves, depicting grace. The second miracle of provision was perfection. They had leftovers. I'll never be unhappy again. I'll never be doubtful again. And say, I used to have a husband with divorced. Yeah, but what do you have now? What do you have? I wish you'd get home and list three things you have. Some can even list it right here, right now. Go back to the stage, please. I've got things. The least of us has three. Now, but what I'm asking you to do is to go back to your field of evangelism with compassion. 3G, I told you. In a decade, IPT will be 49. One decade. All that we've done in London, we've done just by a decade. 3G's in two decades, you'll still be 30-something. So I told your leaders yesterday, before we talk about who will be mayor of London or prime minister from our community, that's the generation I'm preparing for that. They simply must not have the mindset of I don't have this or I don't have that. Why did I give up on first gen being the prime minister? They grew up in not having. It's too much. See, on campaign trail, something will be telling you, you know. And the problem is you've made some friendship that it can't work. So now you have to divinely program 3Gs and some of the second gen not to even have certain friends. And so you can grow up in Campbell or whatever, but they are not your friends. What did Spark then come to do? To create a family. So you guys all talk big and like you are something. Yes, that's what it will take. You see why world leaders are people from Eton and Harvard? They went into a family and they were bubbled up there to think differently. That's what Spark Nation came to do. Without the price of Harvard. So if we give like school fees in Harvard, I think we are worth more than that. Because it's not just talk, it's singing. So what I wanted was next to you could be the next prime minister, the next mayor, meaning next in your generation, captains of industry. Because they have a mentality of what do you have. So what do you walk out of here with today? A spirit of compassion that is unquenchable. Compassion is why we win souls. He said you snatch others like you're snatching them out of fire. You get them out. You don't listen to media. I don't read newspaper. Slow down my timeline. Slow down my time because you want to talk about me. You don't know me. And so if someone comes to Spark and newspaper is what tells you about PT, then you don't need to be here. Rumors is what is informing you about a guy that has stood in front of you almost every day for 10 years. And then newspaper tells you something and says, what's going on? Listen. Well, God punish the devil. Oh, the pity is this. The da 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 da. Miriam Mola did this. Da 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 da. The person writing, you didn't do anything. You became Sunday Times without stealing. Listen to me. The devil cannot do anything about a new generation. I don't read news. I don't care about it. I don't care about what any man's got to say. I care about what heaven is saying right now. And let me tell you, hell is angry because of what I've done to it in this country. But if he thinks I've done anything, wait till the next generation. And then every other country I am, I will punish hell over and over and over again, including their forefathers. They're accusing you of this and they're accusing your pastor. Yet once, they've not come up with one thing. That's the raging of hell. Hell is shouting. And I look at hell saying, who are you shouting at? As in, who are you talking to? Me? You're crazy. Then out of 1,000 of you, it gets 10 of his kids to start talking rubbish. What is 10 to 1 3G? 10 of them don't amount to one of you. 10 of them. Well, you know the zone we have to leave. We have to come from just love. Love is the ultimate. To compassion. Compassion for a generation. We will not stop. And then say, oh, don't get into the black community that much. And those, you know, we will not stop. We will do what is right until evil bows. Why would we not stop? Compassion compels us. And as long as there are people in that world, look at those who are talking. London is now on 11-year high of knife crime. In a civilized country, you have this God-forsaken newspapers talking against a church that has taken 63 knives off the street, and goddamn the Metropolitan Police. I did not invite Metropolitan Police to this church. They came. This is public. They came here. I never invited Metropolitan Police. They saw the works of Jesus. They saw what Jesus can do. Somebody shout Jesus. I did not go to any government. I don't need them to help me in anything. The Lord has been my strength, my butler. For the last 14 years, he has strengthened me. Never apply to the government for £1 funding. Not £1. Go and ask how many organizations, the thousands of pounds they've taken from government, the grants they've taken from government, the millions. Government has not given me one penny. Listen, government, I don't care about your association. I don't care about your strength. Jehovah reigns in the affairs of men. Tell me about Conservative Party, Labour Party, this party. How many lives have you taken off the street? Caged in a system. No way. Next generation, listen to me. Our kids will not keep dying on the street. We have compassion. Listen, police, if you have anything, come in now. Why are you waiting 2 weeks? You should go and investigate the people you've given thousands of pounds to for many years, and then London is still on 11 years crime rate, and then God raises a spark nation and you're taking knives off the street. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. I will not conduct any business without the fear of God. I will not do anything without the fear of God. And I urge you to have the same, so that you can speak boldly and say, put me in Nigeria or America. The truth will still be ringing from the far part of the world, raising a generation in London City. And I ask, Police and government are supposed to move into SPA and say, you're doing what we cannot do. They tell me that in their offices. Now, a newspaper writer and you're trying to do this. May God punish you. Wicked. Pastors running around like jellyfish, afraid of everything. And you ask them, what is the point? If a man gains the whole world and loses his soul, you're hearing that people are dying every day. Pastor, you've lost your soul. In any country you're watching me from, and not Deborah can stand up in that nation and say, we're not going to have this. Are we going to be perfect? No. But are we going to be impactful? Yes. So Spark Nation, rise on your feet. We're about to proclaim what we have. And listen to me. All the young persons in the house, you are not slaves to sin. You can change the world. When pastors want to become politicians, they have to fear everything. Not a politician. You don't become an economic immigrant because you're lazy in another country. If we're going to fight this battle and win for the generation to come after us, we better fight now. I need fighters rising up everywhere. There's an army.